This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. They buy the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament and are helping me provide tournament hats to every golfer at the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXXI, our 31st event, June 5th in Lakeland for the first time. The Todd Wright Tour takes Lakeland at the wonderful private facility that is the club at Eagle Brook. Remember, for golf information, you can email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. For information on requesting a free consultation from Brandon Legal Group, you can pick up the phone and call 844-4BLG-4ME, 844-4BLG-4ME, or you can log on to their website, brandonlegalgroup.com, and simply click on the box that says request a free consultation. They're a full-service law firm, full service. If you need help with divorce, they are full service. If you need help with family law, they are full service. Full service means full service, and that service is available throughout the greater Tampa Bay area. Thank you, Brandon Legal Group, for your continued support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Papa John's of Tampa Bay, locally owned and operated since the early 1990s. Mike and his boss, Charles, are both playing on the Papa John's team in Todd Wright Tour 31. Mike Lenz from the Westwater store and Papa John's catered papadillas for all players at my Masters themed event in April, Todd Wright Tour 30. I can't say enough about what Mike Lenz and Papa John's of Tampa Bay have done for my golf tournaments for many years. And remember, they got me going in podcasts. First ever sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for that first season of that podcast. That podcast returns in a couple months for season 6. Thank you, Papa John's of Tampa Bay. My email for podcast purposes is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. If you comment on anything you hear here, elsewhere, I really either won't respond to it or I don't even know it exists. So if you would like a response and you actually want me to know what you think of the podcast or an idea for a future podcast, send it to write.todd@yahoo.com. Social media is where I promote podcasts. I promote my television appearances on Spectrum News, my webcast, What Are the Odds? As we're on hiatus until football season starts. That'll be season 3 of the What Are the Odds webcast. And obviously, there's tons of golf tournament promotion there as well, such as how I help the Columbia Restaurant Group, the Gonsmart Group, as some call them, with their gourmet golf tournament. All the restaurants out there, plenty of booze, plenty of food, lots of nice people I met as the Todd Wright Tour took over the 18th hole at Heritage Isles Golf Club last Friday for the Columbia Restaurant Group. Some pictures on my social media. Instagram is at ToddWright2121. Twitter is at ToddWright2121. And Facebook is simply Todd Wright in Tampa. It is one page, and I put everything there. You will never be asked to like, say, a separate page from just my own page. So please return the favor. As I was on the golf course today at the site of the last 3 Good versus Evil golf tournaments, the Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club in Clearwater, which I always highly recommend, saw Al, the director of golf there, today, and enjoyed a day that was not quite summer heat. We're getting closer, but at least the last 4 or 5 days, been a little bit of a break from that for those of us that spend the days outside in the sunshine. I received a heads up on something Tony Dungy offered on Twitter, and I was planning on doing this podcast anyway prior to the NFL schedule release, which is coming up on Wednesday night, May the 12th. I am one of those, for reasons I cannot explain, that get excited to see the schedule release and just kind of know how the season is going to lay out in a particular way. It's another non-event, kind of like the draft, but it's fun for me, and I know other people look forward to it as well. So with that said, I've been wondering, and I do this every year with the team that wins the Super Bowl, what will be the opening opponent for the defending Super Bowl champions? So this year, it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And on this podcast tonight, I was going to make a case that the NFL could do what they did previously with the Buccaneers coming off a Super Bowl win and ship them on the road as they did after their Super Bowl 37 win. They opened the next season opening the new stadium in Philadelphia against the rival Philadelphia Eagles at the time, rather than having the Buccaneers open at home. I think there's only been one other example of a team winning the Super Bowl and not opening that next year at home. I think it involved that Ravens team that beat the San Francisco 49ers back. And actually, why don't I just go ahead and type that in just to see if I'm right on that. So the Ravens won the Super Bowl in Louisiana where the power went out. So that was, let's see, Ravens Super Bowl, let's see, was that XLVII? Let's see if that's the right one. Yes, 34-31, Ravens won that Super Bowl. Okay, so let's fast forward to the next season. So that was 2012. Let's do the Ravens in 2013. And just taking a look at the schedule. Yeah, I'm glad I actually looked it up because I was at the game. It's been a while since I've been to Denver, Colorado. That was September 5th of 2013. So the Ravens were on the road. I think there was some conflict with the ownership of the Baltimore Orioles and the baseball schedule. While the two teams have separate stadiums, there is parking and traffic overlap. So they don't want the games taking place at the same time. And I guess the baseball stadium said the Orioles schedule said they'd be at home on September 5th, and Orioles ownership refused to move that to either a day game or do something basically to clear the way for the Ravens to host that particular night. I think that's what was going on there. So the Ravens went on the road. They played at the Denver Broncos that night, and they got run out of Mile High, 49-27. I remember I even split that game midway through the third quarter just because getting there was amazingly difficult from the hotel I was at with their public transit. And I was like, okay, I don't want to go through that again. And I want to be able to get out of here, not wait an hour for public transits, but I was at that game for three quarters or so, and Baltimore started on the road. So people bring up the Buccaneers going to Philly after winning Super Bowl 37, and there were the Ravens going to Denver after winning Super Bowl 47. So maybe it's an every 10-year thing, and I thought I would be able to make a case tonight that there was a chance that the NFL could do it to the Buccaneers again, simply because the road schedule of the Buccaneers is pretty good, and there's obviously a standout game there with Brady and the Bucs going to New England against Belichick and the Patriots. That's the 17th game this year, which is new. So prior to the Tony Dungy tweet, which we'll talk about, I was ready to at least make a case for the fact that the NFL could do this again, not only to the Buccaneers, but they do it, you know, roughly every decade or so, and send the Bucs to Foxborough for a must-see game. Tom Brady returns as a Super Bowl champion. The Patriots open at home with potentially their new quarterback under center in Mac Jones. They did re-sign Cam Newton, but they drafted Mac Jones middle of the first round in a game that could draw mega ratings and be promoted for June, July, August, almost 4 full months. There were other road games you could make a case for if you wanted to maximize what the ratings were, by perhaps sending the Bucks cross country to play the Rams, since the Rams were able to draw zero fans at their new stadium last year. Come September, it looks like the Rams will be able to have some fans in their stadium. It's too early to say whether or not they'll be able to fill it, but baseball games in Southern California have fans. I was just watching an Angels-Rays game 4 nights ago, and I saw some limited capacity. It could have also made a case that you could bring in the New York market by having the Bucks go to the new Meadowlands to play the Jets with their new head coach and Robert Saleh, their new quarterback and Zach Wilson. And maybe even, although on a lesser scale, I'm not saying Indianapolis is a big draw, but you would have Carson Wentz reunited with Frank Reich in Indianapolis as an opponent if you wanted to send the Bucks there, and you know you were going to have climate-controlled conditions in the Dome in Indianapolis. Obviously, no road game bigger than Brady's return to New England. Then Tony Dungy tweeted, I say today, I'm recording this podcast on Monday evening. You're probably listening to it on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening. Tony Dungy basically saying the entire NFL on NBC crew would be at Raymond James Stadium for the season opener on the Thursday after Labor Day. So Dungy is part of that crew. He would know. And while the schedule hasn't been released yet, you know there's extra attention on this first game. So it's been decided between the NFL and NBC what they were going to do. So let's take all 9 road games out of play, unless Dungy's lying or he's fooling us, trying to mislead us. But again, he's a lot closer to the situation than most people on the planet are. So I'm going to take all the road opponents off the board for that Thursday night game. And it looks like the Bucks will be able to honor the Super Bowl championship at home, raise the banner, if you will, at home. I don't know if that just means because the banner kind of is on the pirate ship. So you wonder if they'll, and was looking kind of shoddy. Granted, part of the allure of the Buccaneers is tattered flags, but perhaps they replace all the flags on the current pirate ship because now they have 2 world championship flags to fly on that ship and whatever else they're going to do. So let's just go based on that, taking Tony Dungy's tweet at face value and that the NFL is going to give the Bucks what they didn't have the first time around and give them a home game to open the National Football League season on NBC on national network television. So that means it'll be 1 of 8 opponents. Let me take these sort of in inverse order. You have the division opponents. I can't make much of a case that it would be the Carolina Panthers or the Atlanta Falcons. It's a little bit too regional of a game. I don't necessarily think, I mean, I know Atlanta was in the Super Bowl just now going on 5 years ago, but other than Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, virtually everything in Atlanta has changed since they blew the 28-3 lead to New England. They have a new coaching staff now. Granted, they had the 4th pick. They drafted Kyle Pitts. But it's not like the Atlanta Falcons are much of a draw for national television ratings. They're going to have to do something on the field to merit building that up again. under this new coaching staff. So I can't make much of a case that Atlanta would be a team that the NFL and NBC would want to put out there against Tampa Bay that first night, nor can I do it with Carolina. Second year of Matt Rhule. First year, they were competitive at first, then things deteriorated. McCaffrey couldn't give him a full season. Teddy Bridgewater simply couldn't make plays. He has been shipped to the Denver Broncos. The Panthers trade some draft picks to try to give Ken O'Brien. Sorry. Wow. I was watching the 30 for 30 away to Marino the other night. That's a bad thing to put on Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is the Carolina Panther new quarterback. Carolina doesn't have much interest outside the Carolinas. So I don't think that divisional matchup, much like Atlanta, would have a lot of appeal that you could do better with the opponent for the Buccaneers. So let's kick out Atlanta and let's kick out Carolina. That brings us to the Chicago Bears. They're the outlier sort of on the schedule because of where they finished and where the Bucs finished. They play each other based on the standings. This wasn't planned. The schedule mix allows for some standings to determine who plays whom, and both of these teams finished second in their respective divisions last year. So Bears come to Tampa Bay. Bears did draft move up to draft Justin Fields. They also made another move to solidify, I believe, their offensive line in the second round. Chicago is a big market. There will be interest in what the Bears are doing, probably with a coach and a GM on the shortest leash coming into the season. Some say, well, now it has to be a longer lease. I don't necessarily believe that's the case. I think if the team stinks, then the coach and the GM still could be held accountable pretty quickly for what the Bears are doing. But I'm going to kick the Bears out of this. Right now, we have sort of nothing to go on that Justin Fields will be the starter under center for the Bears. Andy Dalton, while he's in an awful situation, looks like he would be the opening day starter. That could change, but it's hard to predict that, and I just don't know that there's enough going for, ooh, people are going to want to see the Bears instantly to start the season to put them as the Bucs' opponent. Let's move to the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins were they were embarrassing to start the 2019 season. They got better by the end of the 2019 season. The 2020 season, they took even more steps forward, although they couldn't get a win or two near the end of the year to sneak into the expanded playoffs. Miami didn't make a move, at least as at the time of this podcast, to replace Tua Tagovailoa. Perhaps they would have if Deshaun Watson wouldn't be facing scrutiny from off the football field. We'll leave that where you know it is. And look, the Dolphins are a playoff contender, but is that too regional of a game? Miami-Tampa Bay for NFL and NBC's needs on opening night. I say it is. So I'm going to remove Miami from this conversation. I'm going to remove the New York Giants from this conversation, even though you could reel in the New York market big time by putting the Giants on that first game. I just don't know how you promote it. The Giants GM traded back. They're the reason why the Bears have Justin Fields. Daniel Jones is going into year three. We assume Saquon Barkley will be healthy enough to start the season after he's had issues, the last couple of years now. I just don't know that that's enough of a fit for the Buccaneers opponent to open the season. So I'm going to kick out the New York Giants. So now that leaves me with four options. Is it four or is it less than four? Maybe it's three options for the Buccaneer opponent. Let's see. One, two, three. Did I talk about one, two, four? Where is... Okay, so I kicked out the Bears, the Dolphins, the Giants, the Panthers, and the Falcons. Okay, so we're down to three. In descending order, number three, I will say, is the Cowboys. And anyone who knows me knows how long I have been a fan of the Cowboys, former season ticket holder at Texas Stadium, still travel to Dallas-Fort Worth to the Metroplex for big Cowboy games. Didn't go to any last year, not just due to the pandemic, not just due to the Dak Prescott injury. Dallas had the top attendance in the National Football League, but it was impossible to get any of those 20,000 tickets because of the season ticket base of the Cowboys. They were sort of split up amongst the season ticket holders, and season ticket holders either wanted to go or wanted a very high price for those tickets, and rightfully so. Someone I know close to the Cowboys told me that it doesn't make sense to put Dallas on opening night because Dallas at Tampa Bay is a game that is sort of worthy of prime time, or say a 4:25 p.m. Eastern time start on Fox at any point in the season. You do have the storyline of, and I'm sorry, I hate that term. You do have the return storyline is a, it's just a redundant term. None of you care about it. It's a media creation, and just say what it is. So Dak Prescott will be returning. And as a Cowboy fan, I want to see if the defense can actually stop anybody this year, now that former Falcon head coach Dan Quinn is there, and the Cowboys made their first six selections in the draft, all defensive. And what does Ezekiel Elliott have? Can the offensive line still block for Ezekiel Elliott, or is there a slide here with the offensive line and Elliott, and Dallas has to morph more to a vertical attack with their three receivers and a couple of productive tight ends, and maybe using Tony Pollard more as a pass catcher out of the backfield? So just going off someone who's close to the Cowboys saying it wasn't likely, and the Cowboys normally open at home and on the Sunday night game, like or the Sunday night game either at home or on the road. Last year, the Cowboys were the first Sunday night game, and they were the opponent of the Rams in the new SoFi Stadium, albeit with no attendance at all. So I just kind of feel that the Cowboys' visit to Tampa Bay will wait for a Sunday night game later in the year or a late afternoon game on Fox a little later in the year, based on what I was told by someone close to the Cowboys. So that leaves two. And let me give you what Joe from Joe Bucks Fan said about this a while back. His choice was the Buffalo Bills. The Bills coming off their best season since they lost, they lost Super Bowl, 25, 26, 27, 28. It's fair to say last year was the best season the Bills had had in 27 years. With Josh Allen at quarterback, a solid defense, and just Stephon Diggs' first year in Buffalo. I guess he just disclosed recently had a torn oblique during the postseason. Buffalo played extremely well last year and lost in the AFC Championship game at Kansas City to the Chiefs. Most expect that the Bills are the team to beat again in the AFC East. Not the news. That's my phone. I don't know what's going on with it. Somebody's trying to call me during a podcast, and I apologize for that. So it's the Patriots and the Dolphins and the Jets all chasing the Buffalo Bills. So Joe made the point, yeah, coming off the season the Bills had, that's his pick for who the Bucks would play that first night, because enough people saw and respect Josh Allen and the Bills from what they did last year that it's a worthy opponent for the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, even though there's no real rivalry there. There's no other real connection there. There's not like a hatred between one side or the other. It's just the Bills last year were one of the last four teams playing in the National Football League and are hoping to make the next step this year. That you could put them out there on national television and people are like, yeah, I want to see what the Bills do to start this season. So that was Joe from Joe Bucks Fan choice for the Bucks' first opponent, and I respect that choice. My choice, and the only one left that I left in this podcast, is the New Orleans Saints. Now, I know I said a little bit earlier in talking down the Falcon and the Carolina Panthers being the Bucks' opponent, that they wouldn't do that, and also the Miami Dolphins because it was too regional. New Orleans, Tampa Bay, it doesn't feel regional. And there's my phone again. Sorry about that. I swore it wasn't going to ring based on how late I'm recording this podcast. So if that's spam call and it sounds like it was, then I just got to let it go. Remember last year, Fox thought enough of Bucks Saints to put it as the late afternoon national game on their network on Sunday. So that's a pretty big deal. Now, granted, that was Brady's debut against Drew Brees. But the Bucks beat the Saints at New Orleans in the playoffs. They ended Drew Brees' career, and Drew Brees is now part of NBC. Now, I know Brees is going to be the primary analyst on Notre Dame football, but I believe he also has a role on Sunday nights, probably in the pregame show. And it would make a lot of sense if, as Tony Dungy said on Twitter, the entire NFL on NBC crew is going to be at Raymond James Stadium to have Drew Brees there, especially with the Saints moving on from Drew Brees playing in that building. And having Drew Brees working for NBC also may open up some access or really good interview with Sean Payton, or you have Brees sit down with the two quarterbacks. You have Jameis Winston. I mean, that alone draws some interest. If Winston wins the job, his first start since the Bucks let him go and upgraded to Tom Brady would be at Tampa Bay. Remember, the Saints blew out the Bucks last year in Tampa Bay. Jameis even got in the game. Then he ambushed Drew Brees' interview by eating W's. I still think Taysom Hill is a better quarterback. I just think last year, through the four or five games, we saw the limitations of Taysom Hill and defenses caught up to him a little bit. I don't know if there's another layer to him, which is why I thought the Ian Book draft pick was rather interesting. For the New Orleans Saints, and a proven leader with a Notre Dame education and a good pair of legs, like modern NFL quarterbacks need. I thought that was, you know, people talk about the non-first round quarterback draft picks, and they debate the Stanford kid at Houston, Kyle Trask, which I actually think was a wasted second round pick, the latest wasted second round pick by Jason Light in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization. And Mond, I forget if Mond was second round or not, but Mond in Minnesota, I don't think that's a threat to Kirk Cousins either. I like the Book pick because of Sean Payton and what Book brings to the table, whether it's this year or a year down the road. So that's my choice. I think you're going to learn in the next 24 hours or so that the New Orleans Saints are that Thursday night opponent for the Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium because of all of those elements. Drew Brees being with NBC now, first game without Drew Brees, people want to see how the Saints do, how the offense looks. Saints lost to the Bucks in the playoffs last year. There was enough attention on Saints-Bucks nationally for Fox to give it a national TV window on its late Sunday afternoon last year. So while Joe says it's going to be the Buffalo Bills, I say it'll be the New Orleans Saints being the opening opponent on Thursday night to begin the 2021 NFL season at Raymond James Stadium against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know all the Buccaneer fans care about is that what Tony Dungy said is right, and they get, and also the likelihood is it's going to be a packed house. Mike Florio was talking about this on ProFootballTalk.com in the last 24 hours. There are four stadiums that look like, I think you could throw Houston in there if they can fill it, considering, I don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. But you can make the argument right now, Jacksonville will be full capacity, Miami will be full capacity, Tampa Bay will be full capacity, and after the fight over the weekend drew over 70,000 at Jerry World, the Cowboys are going full capacity, and I would say the Houston Texans are going full capacity as well. And it's trending that way, but I think NBC also wants a game in front of a packed house since they couldn't have any of that last year. So give me Saints at Bucks as the opening game of the 2021 season on national television. Joe says it'll be Bills at Bucks. We'll find out. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group and Papa John's of Tampa Bay.